Mandy woke to darkness. Huh. She should be dead. Ice hadn't removed her head, but instead clocked her in the side of the face with his fist. He'd withdrawn the claws first, or she'd still be in a world of pain. The enforcer had an iron punch, though, so as it was, her cheek throbbed a little. She lifted her head and peered around. Her eyesight was pretty good in the dark, but no light came into the room at all. She sniffed and regretted it. Death clung to her in the form of dried blood down her body. It had begun to decay. She tried to ignore that, though, and figure out where she was. The scent of chemicals hung in the air, a lot of dust and mold. Ice smelled like leather and sandalwood, but it was faint, as if it had been a while since he'd been near her. She strained to hear anything. Traffic in the distance helped her figure out she remained in the city. Ice wasn't in the room. That was for certain, since she couldn't pick up his heartbeat or the sound of breathing besides her own. She tried to sit up, but realized fast that her wrists were restrained above her head and her ankles somehow shackled to keep her legs straight on a flat surface. Her thigh hurt like a son of a bitch, too. That stupid vamp she'd taken out had probably fractured her leg, and it would be badly bruised. A quick wiggle of her toes revealed her boots had been removed, but she still wore clothing. They were currently stuck to the front of her body where she'd been covered in blood. Ice? No response. It was daytime, though. She could tell by the way her body felt lethargic and heavy. Maybe he thought she'd be out for the day. Most vampires were, unless they were far older than her. Ice wouldn't know that the council had made certain their assassins retained as few weaknesses as possible. She took deep breaths and tested the restraints. They wouldn't give way. Whatever he'd used were vamp strength resistant. She lowered her head, wiggling her body. The surface she lay on felt hard and unforgiving. Cold, too. The question she wanted to ask most was why he hadn't killed her. His alpha would be furious. That was the last thing she wanted. Hours passed as she napped on and off, trying to ignore how her body ached from being uncomfortable and from her injuries. They weren't healing as fast as normal. She needed to feed. The floor creaked above her head and she opened her eyes, alert. Every footstep she was able to track by sound. A door to her left squeaked open and the person came closer. She could make out a big form and inhaled. Ice had returned. The lights he flipped on blinded her for a few seconds. Two large industrial ones were hung above her. She blinked a few times and then openly gawked at Ice. His hair was mussed, as if he'd just woken from bed. Her gaze lowered to his exposed chest. He was perfect, muscular and tan. The dark gray sweats he sported hung low on his hips, revealing those little side muscles just above the waistband. He was all man and incredibly sexy. Her gums throbbed and it embarrassed her when her fangs slid down. He moved with the full grace of a sleek predator, a sexy one as he approached her.
It's still day. You're awake.
Her nipples beaded and she squirmed a little. His deep, raspy tone turned her on more. Great. He wasn't only eye porn, but his voice got to her too. She broke eye contact, knowing her eyes would respond to him as well by blazing brighter. Full-on bloodlust hit, and she knew he'd smell her arousal soon. He was a werewolf with a super sniffer. It sucked waking up starving since she hadn't fed in a few days, but it was made 10 times worse by her fantasy dream guy in that state of undress while she was injured. Her response to him would come to his attention, and there would be no hiding it. She might as well get ahead of it.
I'm hungry and hurt, she admitted. Sorry, my body is going to do some vampy things until I drink blood. Try to ignore it.
He frowned, staring at her.
How are you awake?
We're fed council member blood to make us stronger. Assassins would be too easy to kill if anyone could just break into our hotel rooms during the day and we couldn't defend ourselves. She avoided looking at him at all costs. As a human, she'd been really attracted to him. But as a blood-starved vamp, it was 100 times stronger. You need to know that the Council will have activated my tracker and will send Olivia here as soon as the sun goes down.
I removed it and ditched your phone. I left them with that ashed vamp, hoping they'll think it's you. You're not gonna be found.
That surprised her enough to meet his gaze as he stood next to her. It also made her slightly relieved. He would be safe.
Don't even try to break into my head.
Her eyes still glowed. She turned her head, looking at anything but him. I told you, I'm hungry and hurt. I'm not attempting to control you. It's also why my fangs are out. You should put on a shirt. You know, show me less skin.
You're strong enough to resist becoming comatose during the day, but you wake starving like a newbie?
He sounded amused and his voice turned huskier.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's me. Interesting. She swallowed. Why am I still alive, Ice?
My name is Glacier. I just went by Ice as a nickname.
Did you used to belong to a pack in California? That's weird. Most packs don't move territories. Unless he's taken a mate. That was a horrible thought. Had he mated to someone and transferred packs? She sniffed the air but didn't pick up the scent of another woman.
I'm not mated, if that's what you're checking for, and I don't belong to the local pack. You could say I'm on assignment from somewhere else. I travel around.
She bit her lip, resisting the urge to look at him, not wanting him to see her as a threat. But you're aware. I smell it on you.
What else do you pick up?
She stared at the brick walls. This place is old. Is it abandoned? Nobody has cleaned it for years with this much dust in the air. And there's mold. A lot. Some wood rot, too. I reek of death since I've got dried blood on me. She lifted her head and saw broken computers on the floor. That accounts for the plastic and metallic scents I'm picking up. Her gaze scanned the room, seeing old cleaning supplies on a shelf. And there's the chemicals I smell. He regarded her with narrowed eyes.
Anything else?
Just you. I like sandalwood. You smell nice. She let her head fall back and cringed when she hit it a little too hard. Not to be a pain, but I need to use the bathroom if there is one, to get clean. A hose would work too. I skipped eating for a few days and the dried blood is making it worse. You know what that means.
I have no clue what you're talking about. Go ahead and look at me. I'll know if you attempt to trespass into my head.
She really didn't want to stare into his eyes, or see his handsome face. To be in the room with an attractive man while hunger played hell on her body. The fact that it was the guy she'd thought about, envisioned in her head every time she'd masturbated over the years, wasn't helping. Especially with him half naked. But she turned her head and held his gaze.
Do you know why I didn't kill you?
Such enthralling eyes. Holy hotness. I could totally worship him. Way better than I remembered.
Answer me.
What was the question? Oh, yeah. I assume I'm still alive because you want to know more about the local nest. I don't have a lot of answers, but I'll tell you what I can. Either ask fast or let me wash the blood off. My control will slip, and that could become kind of traumatic.
Traumatic?
I'd planned to find a donor last night after hunting my target. I never got a chance to feed. Between the fight I had with that other vamp, where I think he fractured my leg, the punch to my face and being sprayed with blood, it's all a bad combo. I'm borderline on losing my shit. I'll start hissing and snapping at you soon. It'll get harder for me to think beyond the hunger. I can buy some time to stay in control if I wash off the dried blood. A shower would give me a few more hours of sanity.
You're going to try to escape if I unchain you to use the bathroom.
Where would I go? You removed my tracker. I'm possibly enemy number one to the Council right now. They'll think I ran from them if they don't believe the ashes are mine. I'll answer any questions you have, but I'd just like to take a shower first.
He leaned over her and peered into her eyes. The scent of him hit her, and her body went a little crazy. She wanted him so bad it hurt. It was just confusing at that point whether she craved his blood or sex.
I don't trust you.
You shouldn't. I'm a vampire. We're mostly bad guys. I have no plans to attack you or run, though. I'll let you know when I hit the danger zone of my bloodlust. It's not here yet. I wasn't lying about everyone coming after me when the tracker alarm went off. I'm already dead, Ice.
Glacier,
he corrected. Sorry. It's going to take some time getting used to the new name. You never did say why you were working at Bucket.
I was hunting a crazy master who thought it would be a good idea to have humans treat him as though he were a god. He actually had them believing he was one. They're probably still in therapy after how badly he'd fucked with their heads.
She curled her lip in disgust. Did you find him? He nodded.
It wasn't gang members who came into the club that night you went missing. It was him and his four nest members searching for new humans to add to their cult. His name was Byron, and he sobbed while I killed him.
The irony wasn't lost on her. You asked me to leave that night to keep me safe, but I got grabbed in the back parking lot by one of Kane's harem hunters. It's like I was totally screwed on the staying human front, wasn't it?
Byron wouldn't have targeted you. He was only into men. I didn't want you there in case they felt cornered and used human shields.
Did they?
No. I took them out one by one without them even realizing I was there until I was down to Byron and his bodyguard. They went into the men's room, following a victim they'd chosen. I started a brawl so the humans would flee and then ash their asses once we were alone.
Her fangs ached, and the smell coming off her own body was driving her mad. I really need to get this blood off me. I'm weaker than normal this morning because it's tough on my body to go this long without blood, especially while I need to heal. You could easily take me down, even if I'm lying about not planning to escape. She stared into his eyes, searching for any signs of the caring person he used to be. Please. I might not be aware, but I have a sensitive nose. It's probably getting to you, too. Wouldn't you like to question me when I don't reek? He clenched his teeth.
Fine. The only bathroom is on the third floor. It's still daylight outside, though, and I'm not covering all the windows. I'll put a blanket over you and escort you to the bathroom. There's a tiny window in there, but it doesn't let in direct sunlight. That room is located against an outside wall. If you try to punch through, all you'll do is burn. The buildings around us are locked up tight. I don't care how fast you can run, you won't find sanctuary from the sun before you're ashed.
I'm not going to run, Glacier. It was odd saying that name. Can I ask you something?
He reached into the sweatpants pocket and withdrew a ring with two small keys.
I'm not telling you who I work for or how many of us there are.
I just wanted to know what your real name is.
Why would you think Glacier isn't?
Well, cold seems to be a theme you go by. Ice, Glacier. I was thinking on your next job you might be hail or sleet.
She couldn't help but smile.
Frost sounds pretty cool, too.
He moved down to her feet.
You always did have a sense of humor and a quick mind. My mother named me Glacier. I told Mike my name, but he refused to call me that. He dubbed me Ice, and it stuck.
She decided to believe him. Thank you.
For what?
He removed the chunky, cuff-like restraints from her ankles.
It just matters to me that I know your actual name. It's silly, but there it is.
He walked up the side of the table to her head.
I'd hate to have to knock you out again. I don't enjoy hitting women. That doesn't mean I won't if you attack me, Mandy. Understand? Behave, and I won't have to hurt you.
She held very still as he released her wrists.
I'm not going to fight you. I get not believing me. I honestly do, and I wouldn't be so trusting in your shoes either. Vampires tend to lie. Thank you. Can I sit up now? I'll move slow.
He backed away and shoved the keys into his pocket.
Do it.
She bit back a groan as she sat upright and stretched a little, the kinks in her body making themselves known. The countertop had felt as hard as marble, despite it being metal.
I don't know how they used to do it when vampires had to hide out in burial crypts and sleep on stone. I'm such a wimp. I bought a pillow top mattress for my room that feels like a cloud of softness.
She carefully swung her legs over the side and slipped off the edge, standing there in her bare feet. Her leg held her weight, but it hurt. She avoided stepping on broken computer pieces as she made her way closer to him.
I appreciate you showing me some mercy.
She stared deeply into his eyes.
Walk in front of me to the stairs.
He didn't want to give her his back. Smart. She made no sudden movements and picked her way around the debris to the stairs, only stopping when she reached the bottom. Glacier stepped to her side and reached under the staircase, withdrawing what looked like an old canvas tarp.
That's not a blanket, she wrinkled her nose, and it's layered in dust.
It's all I've got down here. Yes or no? You could return to the workbench.
She closed her eyes, tucked her chin down, and hugged her waist.
Do it. I hope this bathroom has warm water. I can dream, right?
The sound of him chuckling surprised her. She almost peeked to see his face, but then he opened the tarp, wrapping it around her as if she were a person burrito. His shoulder dug into her hips a moment later, and he hoisted her off her feet. She gasped, unable to even grab at him. Then she got to hang draped over him when he began to climb the stairs.
I feel like a sack of potatoes over your shoulder, dirt and all.
He ran his hand over her leg all the way to her feet, but she couldn't feel more than the weight of it since the tarp covered her.
Tell me if part of you starts to burn.
I will, promise. You'll know when I begin screaming.
He came to an abrupt stop.
That was a joke.
Kind of. It hurts like hell when I'm exposed to sunlight. He began to walk again, and she heard the floor creaking under their combined weight. They were on the first floor now.
Does that happen often?
No. I'm smart enough to avoid it, but training was a bitch. They threw us outside a few times to show us how it felt to be exposed to the sun, and to make sure we could run back inside fast enough not to die. Burns are the worst to heal from.
Why in the hell would they do that?
To make sure we don't freeze up all terrified and in pain.
What if you couldn't make it back to cover?
Only the fittest survive training. We were considered too weak to live if we failed a test. They'd get new recruits to replace the ones who died.
Cold.
He started up more stairs.
That's the council for you. They aren't exactly the compassionate types.
I'm sorry they got their hands on you, Mandy.
Thank you. Life sometimes sucks, and now so do I. Oh, that vampire joke never gets old.
He paused, brushed her body against a wall, and then she heard the sound of a door opening.
How can you keep your sense of humor about this shit?
Laugh or cry. Wanna guess which I prefer?
The door slammed closed, and a soft click sounded. He bent, setting her on her feet. She held still as he unwrapped the canvas, and then she reached up, brushing her face with both hands in case dust covered her skin. Ice didn't say a word. She opened her eyes, glancing around the room. The bathroom was outdated, not very big, and the tiny window over the tub and shower combo had layers of dirt blocking out most of the light coming from outside. A thin plastic shower curtain was pushed to the side. The toilet was a foot away, the sink next to it. He turned on the only light bulb in the room, which hung above their heads. She tipped her head back and held his gaze.
I won't try to escape.
He backed up to the door, leaned against it, and crossed his arms. It was clear he had no intention of going anywhere. Her mouth fell open, but she snapped it shut.
You're gonna watch me?
I'm not letting you out of my sight until you're chained up again.
She turned her head to stare into the dirty mirror. It had come as a shock when she discovered it was a bullshit myth that vamps didn't have a reflection. Part of her regretted that it wasn't true as she took notice of the yellow and purple bruise fading on her cheek. Her hair was shorter than it used to be, just past her shoulders, and she'd stopped dyeing it. It was a waste of time to mess with her appearance. The last thing she wanted to be to her coworkers was attractive. That lesson had been learned.
Time is wasting. Take your shower if you want one. I don't have long before the pack sends Teeny back here soon to begin our night.
She sighed and faced the shower. The curtain was nearly transparent.
He'd get a good view at least.
She gave him her back, turned on the water to see if it would get warm, and then tore her shirt over her head.
He sucked in a sharp breath.
She smiled, refusing to look at him. Don't act all surprised that I'm removing my clothes. Doesn't everyone do that when they shower?
He didn't answer.
She dropped her bra. The gun holster remained, but the weapon had been removed. The sheath for her blade also sat empty. She unclipped both from her body and unfastened her pants.
I'm just surprised you're not arguing with me by demanding privacy.
She shoved them down, along with her underwear, giving him a great view of her bare ass and more if he was looking. It felt as if his gaze was on her. The council stripped me of modesty a long time ago in regards to people seeing my body. I have learned to pick my battles carefully, Ice. She paused. Sorry, Glacier. I'm just grateful you gave me access to a shower. She went to step into the tub, but gasped when he suddenly gripped her arm. Their gazes locked as she peered at him over her shoulder. He looked furious.
What the fuck does that mean? I thought you said the council prevented you from being in some asshole's sex harem.
It could mean death if you're fighting someone. They rip your shirt and you try to cover your exposed breasts. Putting an arm down could mean the difference between keeping your head or not. They sometimes made us fight naked to make sure we didn't care what parts of our body are exposed.
Did any of them force you into sexual situations?
That was a polite way to put what he implied. No. The council doesn't abuse their powers by making us fuck them. We're viewed as tools they use to kill. Nothing more. It's actually a rule they follow. Never get involved with an assassin. Emotional attachments are forbidden.
Does that mean you don't have a companion or someone you're in a relationship with?
That's also forbidden to us. We're property of the council. It's seen as a weakness to care about someone else. Olivia and I have hidden our close friendship. They just think we work well as a team and tolerate each other, since we come back whole. I haven't always played well with others when they've assigned me to work with someone else.
Explain.
She hesitated before giving him an example. My first on-the-job assignment trainer thought he should also teach me the art of seduction. I wasn't interested. So he decided it would be great payback not to give me backup when we were attacked by the nest we were sent to take out. Then the prick had only gotten us one hotel room, assuming we'd share the bed. He made me sleep on the floor since I wouldn't touch him. I got even when he went to sleep. You'll know who he is if you ever run across a vamp missing the tip of his pinky finger. We don't grow back body parts if they've been severed and turned to ash. There are a few missing some toes, too, but let's just say I've gained a reputation of someone to avoid sexually harassing at work. His expression never changed. She wondered what he thought about her past stunts and decided to explain further. She wasn't a horrible person. I'm not allowed to seriously damage another assassin or disfigure their faces, since they have to walk amongst humans on jobs. Taking an entire finger or something that might make them less effective at their job would get me killed as punishment. But the tip of a pinky finger or removing a little toe? She shrugged. Nobody would notice that. The council didn't care. His hold on her eased.
Take your shower.
She got into the tub and closed the curtain, standing under the hot water. It felt good, and it came as a surprise to her that the water heater worked in the old building. He also had products. She quickly washed her hair and scrubbed her body clean. The scent of sandalwood filled her lungs to replace dead vamp. Now she'd smell like Glacier instead.
It was slightly comforting to know something good would be the last thing she inhaled before she took her final breath. Hunger gnawed at her, but she pushed it back. She needed blood, but he wouldn't feed her. Werewolves tended to detest vamps for their need to drink blood. Of course, she wasn't going to point out that her meals survived, unlike those of werewolves, who tended to eat a lot of meat. He held a towel over the top of the curtain when she turned off the water. Thanks. She wrapped it around her middle and got out of the tub. Do you have another one for my hair? He opened a cupboard built into the wall and withdrew a second one.
Turn around.
She tensed, but did as he asked. Maybe he'd be kind and kill her without warning. It was her favorite way to eliminate a target. They never saw the blade coming until it was halfway through their throat. He stepped close, just inches away, and began to rub her hair dry. It was a personal task a person who cared for you would do. Tears filled her eyes, but she blinked them back fast. He'd accused her of planning to play head games, but it seemed that was his strategy, and it was working. What else do you want to know? She'd tell him anything, and then this could end.
How many assassins work for the Council?
At least 100. There are 8 houses in the U.S. and 2 in Europe. I've never been there, but one is in England, the other in Germany. They put 10 of us in each home they set up. We're not called nests, since our masters are every member of the Council.
Why Europe?
To watch what the vamps over there are up to. It's all hush-hush, but I met one of them about 10 years ago. His name was Andre, and he'd followed a master into New York who didn't have permission to be there. Andre was stationed in Germany, but mentioned he had transferred from England. I asked him if there were more houses, but he said he'd only heard of the 2. I was called in to be his backup because the master traveled with 5 guards. He'd also hired 6 humans to protect him during the day. We went at him at night, though.
Do all masters need permission to enter the U.S. first?
There were rumors that this master planned to take over New York. That's where I'm based. One of the Council owns that territory, and it would mean a war for him to keep it. He'd warned the master not to come here and had Andre watching him in Germany. As soon as he flew into the U.S., it became a kill order.
The Council makes you do their territory dirty work?
Yes.
Where are the houses in the States?
Tampa, Dallas, Chicago, Vegas, Portland, San Francisco, Denver, and New York.
What about Canada or Mexico?
Not that I know of.
None in Alaska?
Vamp lichens are up there. From what I've heard in passing, the Council thinks any nest that settles there are fools. They do it at their own risk.
In passing?
We hear rumors from time to time from the New York Council members' nest of vamps, when he orders us to come to him to get our assignments. There was a nest in Alaska wiped out not too long ago by the vamp lichens after they tried to set up there. Korski was pissed about it. I guess he knew the master killed, and he was trying to gain support from the Council for retaliation. He was voted down. Joseph Korski is the Council member and master in New York City. He's the one who gives my house our orders from the others.
The Council fears the vamp lichens?
She tugged out of his hold and raised both eyebrows when she twisted her head, staring at him. I think someone would have to be an idiot not to be wary of vamp lichens. I know wares think they're super tough, but I hope you never plan to take them on.
What have you heard about gar lichens?
They keep to themselves. It's the vamp lichens who defend packs and hunt nests that create too much attention with humans. There have been recent sightings of them in Los Angeles, Washington, and Colorado.
Ever been sent to kill a vamp lichen?
She shook her head. I'm still here, aren't I? They're total boogeymen. He scowled. They are. Way stronger than masters, even old ones, and they have no weaknesses from what I've heard.
I think gar lichens are more fearsome. They can fly.
She shrugged and turned her entire body around to face him. They don't leave their nest. I don't worry about them.
Nest? They're a clan.
Good to know, but I don't worry about gar lichens hunting me since I never planned to go to Alaska. What else do you want to know? And you don't have to be nice to me. I told you I'd answer your questions, so enough small talk.
He held the towel between them but didn't back away. Inches separated them.
My control is better now that I'm clean, but being close to you is difficult. I can hear your heartbeat.
Her gaze ran along his muscular arms and chest.
I can see your veins. Looking at you is akin to waving a big old steak in front of a starving dog.
She peered into his eyes.
No games, for old time's sake, okay, Glacier? Just ask and I'll answer your questions. Don't drag this out until you see the ugly side of me. And it will be. I'd like for you to remember me this way, rather than what I'll become when the bloodlust takes over.
He tossed the towel in the sink.
Are you going to put your clothes back on?
No, I'd just reek again since I don't have different ones to wear. The towel is fine.
She inched away to put as much space between them as possible, pressing against the wall.
Fast and furious rounds of questions. Hit me with them.
She hugged her waist.
Where's the local nest located right now?
They went into hiding after I took out the first vamp.
We reported to Marco at a Chinese restaurant after we arrived in town.
She gave him the cross streets and name of the place.
I got the impression they were staying in the basement. He mentioned the strong smells of the cooking hiding their scents from werewolf trackers.
Where is Olivia staying? With them?
She inwardly winced. I hate to give her up. But will you make me a promise?
You said you'd answer me.
She's my best friend, Glacier. My only friend. It's not her fault that she takes orders from the council. But I don't want you or any more werewolf kids to die. I'm all about priorities. I understand wrong from right. She'll kill you if she's able, regardless of why you're taking out the nest. Just promise me she won't suffer when you put her down.
He frowned, studying her with his mesmerizing blue gaze. She lowered her head, unable to look at him anymore, and tears filled her eyes.
He wanted her to give up Olivia. Do the right thing. Fuck. The council will kill her anyway if she fails to take out Glacier. He's protecting kids.
Look at me.
His demanding tone wasn't lost on her, but she refused to obey.
She's not bad, I swear. In 12 years, we were going to join a nice nest with a decent master. They're tough to find. He likes humans, even allows a pack to live in his city without starting shit with them just for the hell of it. He's all about keeping the peace. Olivia hates this job as much as I do, but her family members matter to her. She's got 2 sisters who have kids. Her niece got married last week, and she cried seeing the pictures posted on a social site.
Mandy,
he snarled. She jerked her head up.
You're crying.
He growled deep in his chest.
Of course I am. Did you miss the part about her being my best friend? I hate this. But she's smart and an excellent fighter. There's a chance she could take you down. That means those kids would be in danger. You think I'm heartless, don't you? Well, big surprise, I'm not. So yeah, I'm finding it difficult you want me to give up her location. As difficult as I find endangering more children. She follows orders to protect her family. Get it?
You said you'd answer all my questions.
All I'm asking is that you take her out fast and painlessly.
His nostrils flared, but he finally gave a sharp nod.
Done.
Thank you.
It was the only comfort she had.
The Smith Hotel, room 220. Tell her werewolf kids were being killed and... I'm sorry.
Hot tears slid down her cheeks.
Do you know which council member is protecting this pack?
The order came from Korski, but he and the council might have been manipulated by another member with a personal agenda. I can't see all of them knowing Marco was killing werekids and being dumb enough to think the Vamplykins wouldn't eventually be called in. It's why we're supposed to police our own. It's motivation to keep them from showing up. The council doesn't want a war. They're aware that some packs contact the Vamplykins for help if the vamp problem is severe enough. I'd say this falls under that category.
He said nothing more. She wiped away her tears and sniffed.
What else?
That's it.
She nodded and gave him her back.
The shower would be easier to clean. Want me to step in there? I'll try not to struggle if you have a problem getting through the bone.
It wasn't as if he needed to go grab a sharp blade with those claws of his. He just breathed evenly. Maybe he found it hard to kill her since they had a past. She took the initiative for him and stepped over the tub rim. Removed the towel so her blood wouldn't get on it, and faced the tiled corner.
Have a good life, Glacier. I'm ready.
She closed her eyes and swept her hair aside to expose the back of her neck, making it easier for him to take a swipe.
Do it.
Chapter 3.
You son of a bitch!
Glacier carried the struggling and canvas-wrapped Mandy down the stairs.
Stop it. You'll get burned if you kick free. The sun is still up.
He eased his crushing hold on her when they reached the basement, and there was no longer a danger of her skin being exposed to sunlight. He strode to the bench, but hesitated to put her on it. Then again, it was the only way to restrain her. He dumped her onto her back and climbed up on the bench, straddling her hips to pin her down. The canvas he'd wrapped a few times around her was in the way of him reaching her arms. It meant unleashing his claws as she bucked and thrashed under him.
Be still.
He started slicing at the canvas.
I told you what you wanted to know.
She stilled under him.
I even made it easy for you. All you had to do was use the showerhead to wash the tiles if blood sprayed on the walls. Ashes go right down a drain. I should know.
I'm not going to kill you yet.
She tried to buck her hips to unseat him.
When did you become a dick? You want to watch me lose my mind? That's what's going to happen. Is that your version of fun? Seeing a vamp in full-on bloodlust?
He cut at the top of the canvas and lifted his body just enough to slide the material between them and slice open another layer.
I'm not going to cut off your head, nor do I plan to watch you suffer starvation. Now will you behave so I can get you free of this? I snagged a pair of drawstring pajama bottoms and a shirt on the way down here. Would you like to wear them?
She became very still under him.
What kind of game are you playing?
I'm not.
He eased off her and the counter, reaching for the canvas again. She worked with him, almost falling off the smooth surface when she was freed, but he caught her before she could. He took the clothes off his shoulder where he tossed them and dropped them on her lap before turning away.
Get dressed.
He heard her movements and turned when they stopped. A laugh caught in his throat. His stuff looked huge on her. The legs of the pants were pulled over her feet until he couldn't even see them, and her arms were completely lost in the long sleeves of his shirt. The humor died fast, though. She looked cute as hell and vulnerable at the same time. He might forget she was a bloodsucker if it wasn't for her pale skin and the fangs peeking out from her lips. Her eyes, when she looked at him, were glowing blue.
You're going to give me some of your blood?
No, I'm off limits.
Her gaze roamed over his chest and she licked her lips. He caught the motion when she seemed to shiver, but she turned away and walked around the table, putting it between them. Her chin dropped to her chest and her wet hair fell forward.
Within a matter of hours, I'm going to lose my shit, Glacier. Probably less time. I think I mentioned I didn't feed when I should have. I don't have to do it every night, but I can't go more than 3 days without it becoming dangerous. I hit that last night.
Why did you go so long without blood?
I didn't get to feed the night we left home. It was a wake up and here's your orders kind of thing. Pack and leave. I would have found someone to bite in the airport, but security has cameras everywhere. The bathrooms were packed when I tried to find someone alone in a stall. I hate those fucking peekaboo doors. Why do they have a goddamn inch gap? Anyway, I figured I'd feed when we arrived in Atlanta. No big deal, missing a meal. But then there was a problem with the engine of the plane we were supposed to board, It meant we had to get a hotel to day sleep and then catch a flight the next night so we weren't stuck in the air while the sun was up. There was a hotel by the airport filled with senior citizens. They weren't really a spry group, you know? There was some kind of power outage where two nursing homes were located and they bussed them all to that hotel. The maid had a medical bracelet on, and the only other person working when we checked in was the clerk. He was all beat to hell and on crutches. It seems he'd been in a car accident a few days before. Who the hell feeds off someone with medical conditions? Not me. The bathrooms were packed again when we went back to the airport, so I figured I'd feed when we landed. Except Marco sent Pedro, his second, to pick us up. The asshole was waiting to take us to the restaurant. We got our orders to get right to work, so we just dropped our bags at the hotel, and boom! I ran into you. He chuckled, amused as hell. Her head whipped up. You think that's funny?
It kind of is.
Fuck you! I was going to find someone to bite after work last night.
You could have tried to go for Teenie's throat.
I don't bite wear kids, or any kids for that matter. Throats aren't my thing either. I take from the arms of my donors.
Only the sweetheart he'd once known would avoid biting humans because she felt sympathy toward them. Now he was really curious.
Why?
Because I'm not a sick jerk who's into kids.
I meant, why sink your fangs into someone's arm?
Some humans get turned on when there's a mouth at their throats. They're in a trance, thinking happy thoughts that turn to sex, and always try to grope me when I bite them there. That doesn't happen if I sink my fangs into their wrists.
Don't you ever fuck your donors?
That thought didn't amuse him one bit. She wrinkled her nose at him.
No.
Why not?
Because I believe in free will and not taking advantage of someone when they're being controlled by me. I go to the homeless. They need the money, and I try to find ones who are already living in an altered reality, since it's a risk that someone may be immune to mind control. I've never wanted to kill someone, Glacier. If I pick someone who thinks aliens or shadow people are after them, it won't matter if they rant about vampires, too. They aren't seen as a threat.
He arched his eyebrows.
I can't believe you're an assassin for the council.
Let me rephrase that. I don't want to kill someone innocent. I mostly get sent after rogues or batshit crazy vamps who are putting us all at risk of exposure. Those are assholes who deserve to die.
What if they weren't rogues or crazy? Do you still kill them?
I wouldn't do it if I knew it was flat out wrong. That's only happened twice. The first time with a human family who'd managed to kill a vamp in self-defense. They went to the police about the attack with their memories intact. They said a vampire kidnapped them. The council ordered them silenced. The humans weren't at fault, so I messed with their memories, then helped convince an FBI agent that their lives were in danger from a serial killer. The agent put the family into that witness relocation program. I figured with new identities, maybe the council wouldn't find them. The second time was last night, with you.
He was stunned.
How in the hell did you survive this long, Mandy? You're too soft-hearted to be a vampire.
She crossed her arms over her chest.
I took out that asshole last night just fine. I feel no guilt about ashing him. He went after a kid. I've killed plenty of vamps and even some murderous wares over the years. Human predators, too. Those weren't even sanctioned by the council, by the way. They love it when humans go nuts and it becomes a news story. They can shove the blame on those psychos when a vamp does bad things. I've run across some terrible humans while on assignment and stopped them from hurting anyone else. I don't hesitate to kill bad guys.
He started to feel anger growing. Not at her, but the situation. It would have been so much easier if she'd become a heartless creature. Instead, he found himself drawn to her even more than he was 30 years ago. She sighed loudly and placed her hands on the workbench, peering at him.
You took the tracker out of me. I'm a dead vamp walking. It was really hard to expose my throat to you and face my death, but I did, twice. I'm going out anyway. What are you waiting for, Glacier? You said you don't plan to feed me. Have you ever seen full-on bloodlust? I'll attack you. I could even hurt you. Or worse, if I get away from you, I will go after anyone unlucky enough to cross my path. That would be a helpless human, and I'd probably kill them without meaning to. I won't be able to stop myself.
I'm going to chain you up again.
The sadness he saw flashing in her eyes made him feel like a bastard. Fine.
She hopped up on the table and stretched her hands over her head. You better gag me, though, if any humans are nearby. I've heard vamps being tortured by starvation. I'll start screaming when the pain becomes too intense. I wouldn't want to live anyway if I ended up killing some good Samaritan who rushes to my rescue. Ignore what happens to my body, too. The hungrier I get, the more I'll confuse the need for blood with wanting sex. It's nature's way of helping women bait men to get within striking distance.
He knew that, but kept silent, restraining her wrists first, and then her ankles.
I'm sorry I don't have somewhere more comfortable to put you. The frame on the only bed in this place is cheap wood you'd snap with ease. I have to get ready since Teenie will be here within the hour. I'll see you soon.
He walked out of the basement, but left the light on, refusing to leave her in the dark. He closed the door and hurried up the stairs to shower. It was probably the fastest one he'd ever taken, and when he turned off the water, he heard pounding coming from somewhere below.
Give me a few,
he yelled, knowing Teenie would hear him. The pounding stopped as he dried off and entered the small bedroom he'd taken over. He put on a pair of black jeans, a t-shirt, and his boots. One check of his cell phone showed 6 missed calls from Kevin. He growled low in irritation. Sometimes alphas were the bane of his existence. It wasn't just Teenie standing at the back door he unlocked and jerked open. Kevin and one of his male enforcers also waited. He stepped outside, not wanting them anywhere near Mandy. He blocked the door and leaned against the frame.
What?
Kevin stepped close and puffed out his chest.
You haven't been answering my calls. I had my cell off while I slept and then showered. Did something happen?
The alpha clenched his fists, hanging at his side, a show of anger.
Yes. I wanted to know what you learned from the vampire you captured last night. You should have allowed Teenie to help you torture it. I shouldn't have had to wait all day to hear the results. I work alone unless I need bait.
Glacier hated pissing contests. Some alphas just naturally couldn't help trying to intimidate everyone around them who they viewed as a physical threat. But it didn't work on him.
Move aside.
Glacier shook his head.
No, this is my private space while I'm in your territory. That was the deal.
Kevin's expression showed he didn't like being refused or challenged on his authority one bit. Nor did his 2 enforcers. All 3 of them rumbled protests. The big bastard on Kevin's right even sprouted some hair. Glacier smiled, amused. It would piss them off more, but he was only in their city because they needed his help. Otherwise, they wouldn't have reached out to Lord Avioth. He didn't care if he offended the entire pack.
What did you learn from the vampire?
He held Kevin's glare as if he were bored.
I know where the nest is hiding.
Kevin withdrew his phone.
I'll call in the rest of my enforcers. Don't bother.
A snarl came from the alpha, and he clenched the phone he'd withdrawn from his front pocket tight enough that a crack could be heard.
What did you say to me? They're in a basement. They wouldn't hole up there unless they had a way to escape. First, you're going to need to reach out to a contact in the city for schematics of all sewer and water runoff drain lines around the building. Then we need to wait until dawn to go in after them. We'll just hunt them down if they run.
Glacier snorted.
I'm the expert on extinguishing nests. Do you want to know why? I've done this many times. You can't track them through the sewers if that's their escape route. All you'll be smelling is shit. A seasoned vamp could hold his breath, slow his heart rate, and stay underwater for almost an hour. Your trackers would pass right by them.
He shook his head.
We do this my way. That means being smart. We find out what their options are, block them to keep them trapped, and take out the entire nest when they're at their weakest. That's daylight. I'm hoping only the master has the ability to move once the sun comes up. but he's the one we want the most. He survives, and he'll just remake another nest. Hell, he could be so pissed over the loss that he turns humans into dozens of soldiers to unleash on your ass. I've seen it happen before.
Those bastards murdered some of our kids.
I understand, but you have your pack locked down and protected. One night is worth the wait. We can take them all out at once with no mistakes, or deal with the consequences if any get away. Don't you want to make sure every member of that nest pays?
We should go after them now,
the male enforcer growled. Kevin raised his hand, motioning for silence.
Fine. We'll do this your way, Glacier.
Good. I'll turn my cell on. Let me know when you have the information we need, and then we'll form a plan on how to trap them in that basement come morning.
The Alpha narrowed his gaze, studying Glacier.
We can go back to the pack house now and start planning. I'll have Ted here go pay a visit to our human friend who works for City Sanitation. He'll bring the maps and a blueprint of the building to us.
I have a phone call to make first. I'll drive to your pack house when I'm done.
Kevin shook his head.
Now.
20 minutes,
Glacier stated.
We'll take my car and you can make your phone call on the way.
I have shit to do first, and I don't want you listening in on my conversation.
Glacier let his irritation sound in his voice.
I don't take my orders from you. I have to check in with Kelzeb and give my report to Lord Avioth.
Did you end the vampire?
He debated about lying, but decided to go with the truth. There wasn't a damn thing the pack could do about it.
Not yet. I still have questions for her.
Kevin snarled, clearly unhappy. Glacier arched his eyebrows. The tense standoff lasted for a full minute before Kevin stepped back.
I want that fucking thing dead.
His response pissed Glacier off.
She's a vampire, not a thing.
Ted smirked, looking at Glacier in a way that he didn't like.
What?
You're one of those.
Kevin glanced back at his enforcer.
What are you talking about?
Glacier wanted an answer, too.
I heard about a group of enforcers in another pack who caught a female vamp feeding off their human neighbors. They were ordered to bring her to their alpha so he could take her head himself. The thing was, she put up a hell of a fight, and they had to really mess her up. They muzzled her to keep her from biting, but while they were driving her in, she went into heat. It seems getting clawed and beaten turns on those fanged bitches like nothing else.
Is that why you haven't killed her? You enjoy getting some vamp pussy? The more you hurt them, the hotter they get, wanting to be fucked. I heard it was the wildest piece they ever had.
Glacier felt his skin cool as his rage flared inside. He didn't need to look down at his arm to know his body had turned a bit gray.
It doesn't turn them on. It sends them into bloodlust, you asshole. That captured vamp probably lost so much blood that her body was starving. Are you accusing me of being the type who'd torture and then rape a woman? Rape is exactly what it would be to take advantage of a woman lost to bloodlust. You should answer carefully.
Ted paled and backed up a step.
You better hope I never find out what pack those enforcers were from, or I might go hunting for what they did to that vamp before she was killed.
His gaze jerked to Kevin.
Obviously, intelligence isn't a requirement to be one of your enforcers. Get him the fuck out of my sight before I hurt him for implying I'm some twisted sicko.
Kevin nodded.
Be at the pack house soon.
He shoved Ted ahead of him, and Teeny trailed hot on their asses down the alley. Glacier spun, entered the shop, and slammed the door. He snarled, wanting to punch something. He looked at his fist, focused on it, until his skin returned to flesh tone. His temper eventually faded as he took deep breaths. He left the store, locked the door, and made damn sure no lichens were hanging around to watch his place. He left the alley and walked a block over to where he'd seen drug dealers and hookers hanging out. He approached one of the women and smiled.
How much?
She smiled back, revealing some missing teeth. Scabs covered her exposed arms and chest. He knew it was a result of doing drugs.
She reeked of them, as if she had them coming out of her pores.
What do you want?
How would you like to make $200?
Her eyes widened.
That's a lot of money.
It is. I won't hurt you, I promise. I have a place right around the corner. I've been sleeping in the basement and could really use a blowjob. You up for that?
She got to her feet. Yes. Can I have the money now? He glanced around and withdrew his wallet, taking out 100.
This for now, the rest for after.
He made sure she could see the thick wad of bills.
You got it, honey.
She smiled and batted her eyelashes.
Come with me.
She stayed right at his side as he returned to the shop and unlocked the door. The moment she stepped inside, she turned and reached for the front of his jeans.
The bed is downstairs. I like to lie down. Bad knees.
Nervousness crossed her face as she glanced around at the dilapidated shop. He withdrew his wallet again and took out another 100, passing it to her.
I'm not into hurting women, I swear. 10 minutes at most and you'll be returning to your spot where I found you. I won't even last long. It's been a while.
She nodded. He led the way and she followed. They were halfway down the stairs when he figured she'd finally see Mandy restrained to the counter. He spun, grabbed her, and put his hand over her mouth. She tried to scream as he carried her down the rest of the stairs, careful not to hurt her. Mandy stared at him in shock as he approached.
Take over her mind, damn it! She's terrified,
he ordered. Mandy's glowing gaze left his to focus on the woman.
Look at me. It's okay. Relax. You're fine. Everything is good.
The woman stopped struggling, and he gently put her on her feet next to the counter, easing his hand away from her mouth.
You feed from her and let her think she gave some faceless guy a blowjob. Can you do that? Also, wipe this location from her mind, along with seeing you. I don't want her coming back here on her own looking to score more money from me.
Mandy glanced at him.
You're lucky she's susceptible to mind control.
She's a drug addict. I've never met one yet who had the willpower to resist you vamps. Feed, do your thing, and then I'll escort her out of here.
Mandy nodded and focused on the woman.
I want you to think of your favorite childhood memory. Do you understand? You'll be in that moment again,
Mandy told her.
Nod if you're there.
The woman nodded.
Lift your arm and put it to my mouth.
Glacier backed away, watching. Mandy had the woman adjust her arm until her wrist pressed against her lips, and then licked her skin, sinking her fangs in. The drug addict didn't even flinch. She just stood there grinning as if a vamp wasn't taking some of her blood. Mandy stopped and then bit her tongue, licking at the two puncture marks. It fascinated him, watching Mandy implant memories. One of the things she told the woman was to go buy food right away and eat. She looked at Glacier then.
Now. She'll come out of her trance when you tell her thank you.
Glacier took the woman's hand, leading her upstairs and out of the shop. He left her on the street.
Thank you.
The woman stopped grinning and just walked away as if he wasn't there. He watched her enter a donut shop down the street. She never looked back once. He returned to Mandy. She lay on the bench with her eyes closed.
Better?
Much. Thank you.
Her eyes opened and she stared at his face with a frown.
What?
You fed me. Why?
I don't want to see you suffer. Was that enough to last you a few days?
Yes. I didn't want to take too much, though. She was pretty thin.
Sorry. It was either pick up a hooker or a drug dealer. The latter wouldn't have willingly followed me down here without putting up a hell of a fight, thinking I planned on robbing him.
I bet you have no trouble sweet-talking women into anything.
She blushed.
Sorry. I fed, but my body is still a bit, off. Thank you, Glacier. I mean it.
You're welcome.
I'm glad you're not a twisted sicko.
He let her words sink in.
You heard my talk with the pack and what that asshole said.
Yes, I have good hearing, and the door to the basement doesn't seem thick.
He strolled over to her and leaned down, not close enough for her to bite, but so he could really look into her eyes. The glow had faded to a